This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Resource Center. I'm Audrey Raj. Daryl Tan and Ryan Ng from Open Minds Resources are with me today for our monthly check-in on all things digital marketing. So, we could soon be paying for stuff using WhatsApp, I hear.
Yes, correct. So, this next update is all about money, and how we use money, how we pay. And I'm very excited about this topic is on e-wallets, right? So, we recently found out that WhatsApp, or rather Facebook as a whole, has been testing its payment systems in India since last year. The whole area of why is it India is also they have acquired a company, if I'm not mistaken, over in India, where they're able to run these digital payments as well. So in India, I guess you're talking about the population as well, and I guess if anything fails, for example, I think it will not be as a big impact versus a very, very, very mature market.
Right.
So you're still test bed, you're testing it out. Plus, India is also a country full of tech wizards, right? And it's a good place, I guess, to start testing a new feature on WhatsApp.
So this is a payment system, like
yes.
for you to transfer money to someone or to pay a business or
yes.
you know. So it's great for e-commerce.
Yes, imagine like WeChat Pay. So WhatsApp Pay is like WeChat
this
Pay,
is,
right?
All right?
So but they claim or rather WhatsApp is claiming that you can even transfer money or pay someone just as simple as sending a message.
Okay, right. How secure is something like this?
With overall WhatsApp's encrypted messages and their servers and their high level of risk management or security, cybersecurity terms, I guess it's a very standard protocol. Or whoever wants to implement some sort of e-payment on their system have to go through a very strict and rigorous profiling or certain risk terms that you need to adhere to. So I guess if this really carries out, I would say that, well, in everything also there's risk. I mean, nowadays, even if you use a credit card, then sometimes you may have a risk as well, sometimes, right? So, but I guess the risk is lower depending on how secure that network is.
Do we know how it's going to look like on the WhatsApp interface?
As of now, no, not really. But user has actually a unique QR code where they can scan and send money.
Mm-hmm.
This, I think, is pretty standard practice nowadays, especially if you look at even May or like the QR Pay for Maybank.
Yeah.
It's also using QR code and even actually all the payments
most
right now, you've
e-wallet.
Got GrabPay, Favor, you have that QR code where you scan, similar.
Okay. All right. So will this at some point be intertied with Facebook's Libra? Because you know they're working on a cryptocurrency.
Yes.
You know they're thinking about money and making payments on the social media platform.
Yes.
And you know they own WhatsApp. So is this inevitable?
Very, very good question. I think that there is some sort of ecosystem building in there right now where WhatsApp Pay from Facebook as the parent company and now got Libra and looking into cryptocurrency. I think everything then will also come into one single platform whereby you have seamless usage of different methods of the payment system or money that you use. Yeah.
But generally, looking at it from a marketer's perspective, what are the main benefits of being able to make payments via WhatsApp? I mean, I can understand for small businesses, everybody uses WhatsApp here in Malaysia. So, it would be great to just not have to make someone go to, say, Maybank to you or CIMB Clicks in order to make payment for something you've just purchased. You can just do it via WhatsApp.
Yeah.
I mean, you're already like
Correct.
Chatting with the business
Correct.
Owner via WhatsApp, right?
Correct. You answered your own question, Audrey. So.
Is that the only benefit?
That's
to
a
this?
Huge benefit, right? That's a huge benefit. The whole area of being seamless, right, and being a so-called quote unquote super app where you can do everything in one place, not just make money transfers, but actually make purchases into different types of services, right? Whether it's to buy a movie ticket, whether it is to buy an airline ticket, just transfer money to your friend, or make a purchase at a retail store. I think just being that one single app, I think that's really something that everybody's trying to jump on the bandwagon, right? So being seamless is a big, huge plus point, right? And if you look at messaging apps nowadays, a lot of conversations, I guess, one way or another, would involve some sort of money transaction, whether you're talking, oh, I owe you money or whatnot, right? Or even if you go out and eat nowadays, someone pays for the bill, especially those who rush for GrabPay because they offer so much points. So one person will pay for 15 person's meal, get all the points, and then we have to give it back in a certain form. And nowadays, you know, we have so many e-wallets on our hands. And usually we just say, okay, whatever you want, touch and go, QR Pay, Fave also can, Boost also can, GrabPay also can. So many methods, right? Then one day probably you say, oh, WhatsApp also can. Right. So I guess those are the benefits it comes along with.
Okay, we have another update on another e-wallet player, Touch & Go.
Yes, so Touch & Go, as you know, is our country's one of our biggest database, right? Because, well...
About Touch & Go cards,
Touch & Go cards. So with TNG Digital, Sundaram Bhd, you know, it's really becoming a major player in that sense because they already have such a huge pool of users, right? Right now, they have more than 25 million active TNG card users, right? Over 10 million unique users. Mm. Yeah, and it's really looking at 5,000% user growth, right? To 4.3 million users in the last 11 months. So if this trend really keeps up, right? In terms of user base, I would think Touch & Go will have a huge user base. In terms of transaction, because I think mostly on the tolls, you get a lot of transaction. But if you notice also, Touch & Go is trying to push its retail arm, whereby you get cash back and so on. So I guess that helps. That helps. I think they're more aggressive now as well, going to retail stores. And it's amazing to see how one of our local players, especially from toll and, you know, being monopolized through that area, leveraging on e-wallet and allowing us to use e-wallet on a greater scale, as even buying grocery, right? Yeah. Sometimes I just use my Touch & Go pay if the line is up. Yeah.
Okay, so I guess, Daryl, what you're trying to say here is that Touch & Go is going to be a force to reckon with when it comes to the e-wallet space?
Yeah, most definitely. I think overall, we have many good players, e-wallet players in the market. Again, I don't think we can forecast who would exactly be the winner or whether or not there will be a winner.
And there's all this talk about mergers because there's just too many players.
Correct. And of course, at the back end, we know that some e-wallet companies has a stake in other e-wallet companies. It's actually a business model. It's a strategy, right? Yeah. Even sharing economy, one investor has their hands into multiple different other sharing economies. Same for e-wallet. So they're not trying to out-compete each other. They're just saying that, okay, left pocket, right pocket, anything works. It doesn't really matter on the back end, right? Mm. Which is good, I guess, from the consumer side. It's also good. Right. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And just to wrap up the show, we have an update on Pinterest and how it's going to make me want to shop more. Right?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. This update is really for you, Audrey.
Thank you, Pinterest.
Because the first update that we're talking about, it improves your shopping experience on the app itself. So what they are trying to do is they are rolling up two new updates to improve your shopping experience. So the first one is they are adding recommendations, right? So a personalized shopping hub will now appear at the top of your home feed. So it connects, let's say you, when you go onto your app, to a curated catalog of shoppable pins, right? And it's not just any random pins. It's based on your previous activity. So if you've been browsing on those bags, you've been browsing on those heels, you see similar products in terms of recommendations for you, like right on top when you enter the app.
My one safe space is now being infiltrated by ads. Yeah, is that what it's going to look like?
So this is a way they're trying to funnel you to shop, right? Usually you go on Pinterest. Right nowadays, it's to look for ideas.
Yeah.
But right now, you go on Pinterest, the first thing you see is shopping recommendations before anything else. So it's kind of a shift of focus for Pinterest, I guess, into getting really, really drive it into a shopping app instead of an idea-generating app that it used to be.
It's going to be another Etsy.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where it's going?
Yes, because the second update that is rolling out is catalogs. So what this is about is, let's say you are looking at a certain shopping pin, right? Let's say it's a bag from Prada. Let's say it's Prada, right? So usually before this, when you scroll down from the pin, you actually see related items to the bag that you're looking at.
Okay.
But right now, what they are changing is it will be similar products from the same retailer. So you don't really have to go onto their profiles, search for their items and stuff anymore. But what you just need to do is you click on one item and then you'll be able to see all the related products from the same retailer under the same page.
Right. There's, you know, something that I've noticed in some of the sites that I frequent is they now have a little option called more from this brand or complete the look by, and, you know, you have. So it's just trying to keep you on that particular page or site for much longer and to kind of maximize what they can get from you.
Yeah. But it's also a way to make it beneficial for marketers or businesses that are trying to get on Pinterest to, you know, market their products. So this is definitely one of the benefits.
Okay, are those the only two updates?
Oh, the third one, they are pushing out new mobile ad tools that will allow you to create ads and manage your campaigns just on your mobile phones alone. All right. So how it works is, when you're using the mobile ad tools, first you have to set a pin that you want to boost. Then you can either choose automatic targeting, then Pinterest will determine the targeting for you, or you can customize it. Then you will choose the time period, the budget, and after that, the billing information will be provided and you can just publish the ad from your mobile phone directly, right? So these new tools also give you options like setting target audience, budget, allowing you to pause ads if it's not performing, edit your URL destinations in your copy or in your item, and let you change the name of the campaign. On top of this, they're also giving you relevant metrics that you can see on your mobile phone. So right now, you can see ad spend, the duration left, the impressions generated, the number of clicks received, and your click-through rate. Right. So, how many times the ad has been saved. When you look at all these new things being offered, it doesn't seem to be much. It doesn't seem to be as comprehensive or as holistic as when you buy ads on desktop.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it gives you an option to make changes on the fly or stop ads on the fly. I think, to me, this is a very good plus. Right?
It helps marketers who have to do these things on the go. So another quality of life.
Yes, for me. Because, right, like, let's say I'm having lunch or I'm on holiday or something like that, and, you know, I'm running an ad and my client is telling me, oh, crap, it's not working out, or we need to make a change. I don't want to be like fumbling for my laptop or something like that just to make the change. I just put up my phone, make the change on the spot, and that's it. This is the real quality of life improvement for me.
Okay, so from a retailer's point of view, from a marketer's point of view, you know, what is Pinterest trying to do here with these updates, and how is this going to, you know, help elevate the platform?
All right, so the first thing is, I think Pinterest is really trying to get marketers to jump on board on their platform to market their products through these changes. First thing is, you know, they are trying to provide another way for businesses to reach their pinners, as what they say, their target audience on Pinterest, while they are shopping through this discoverability additions, right? The other one is, it's also a plus point for consumers because it does offer a better shopping or search experience as it provides, you know, consumer with things or products that are high interest of them. And in return, because the relevancy score is increased, the consideration rate is higher when people are shopping on the app platform. And this leads to increased leads and conversion. So that is why I think this is really an addition or update that Pinterest is trying to do to get marketers on board.
Very interesting. Also, you mentioned pinners, right? Is that what they're called? You know, people who are avid Pinterest fans?
I guess so,
pinners?
Yeah. Pinners.
Yeah.
Because what you do is you pin an idea, right?
Yes,
You pronounce it correctly.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if it's an official term.
Is it Ryan's?
Pinners.
Yeah, really dangerous term for radio. Okay. And I guess that is a wrap for this month's edition of Digital Marketing Updates. Thank you again, Daryl Tan, Ryan Ng from Open Minds Resources. resources. Now, for the latest on digital marketing, go visit the Open Minds website at openmindsresources.com, or you can catch up on all our digital marketing podcasts on the BFM website, bfm.my, the BFM app, and you can also find us on Spotify. Just search for Resource Center. My name is Audrey Raj, and on behalf of Daryl Tan and Ryan Ng from Open Minds Resources, thank you for listening to Digital Marketing Updates on Resource Center, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.